You're listening to the Men Overseas Podcast, a show that explores methods and ideas to help you live a bigger life. You will hear interesting stories of how people live, how they save and invest their money, and why having time wealth is better than being a billionaire. If you are entertained, educated, or elevated, be sure to hit the subscribe button. We're just getting started. Now here is your host, Brad D'Antonio.
Lauren, so glad to have you.
Bradley D.
How long has it been?
It's been a hot minute.
I would say
almost 20 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why don't we keep in touch more, like our friends group?
I don't know. We really I feel like the boys keep in touch and the girls keep in touch.
Which is a beautiful thing.
It is.
Do you think other people, like from other high schools, do it as much as we do?
I don't think so.
What was it about our core group that made us like each other so much? Right?
Because we were all just cool kids.
We were. I was telling you this, that I had trouble when I was in my 30s dating much younger women because I always felt like y'all were so cool that I was jaded, like spoiled. And I felt that way about like you, Dana, Shannon, Courtney, Kisha, I mean, Ashley, we talked about everybody earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all were so damn awesome that, like, I would date 25-year-old women in 2014, and I'm like, man, these chicks are just not cool.
Well, and it's also a different generation, though, right? Like, right. We were in a different generation. So, I feel really blessed that I still have my core group of girlfriends, and I was going to tell you this earlier, that I've met a lot of amazing women in the neighborhood that I live in. And
which is what?
It's called Town Lake. It's in Cyprus. And we always talk about how it's been nice to, you know, grow our roots there because we've been there since about 2015. So my son has been there since he's in first grade. Now he's a junior in high school. And my other two, I know, that's wild, huh? My other two are in elementary school. And I want so bad for them to have
What we had.
Yeah. You know?
How do you create that?
I don't know.
Just move to the suburbs? And hope.
Basically.
That's the advantage of the suburbs is you get your kids to play with kids their age in the neighborhood, and you just hope that you send them to a good school. You know, when I moved to Houston, I was zoned to Thornton Junior High, which was gangster's paradise.
Absolutely.
And thankfully, my parents moved because we needed a bigger house because my dad inherited a 3- and 5-year-old. So there were three kids, and we had this little house in Autumn Run, which is like 529 in Barker Cypress.
Yeah.
But we moved to Copperfield, where you lived.
Right.
And I was zoned to Cy Falls, which was the biggest blessing, because as we're saying, I met lifelong friends there.
Yeah, it's really special, and I feel really fortunate. But going back to these women that I've met, you know, I'll ask them, who are your best friends? Like, do you have friends from when you grew up? And I would say 95% of them do not.
That's crazy, especially with social media, because we're here today probably. Like, I didn't have your phone number.
Right, but through social media, yeah. Obviously.
They don't do that, or they just don't like?
They didn't form. We formed a bond early on, I think.
Was it drinking that did that?
I mean, there's a little bit. I mean, I drive over the
speed limit. Still?
I do that, and I drive over the overpass.
Underpass, that's where we party.
I drive over the underpass.
Yeah.
Drive by the power lines.
The cops would bust those a lot.
Oh, yeah. Kids don't do that these days, though.
You want to hear a crazy story? The girl that I dated for like 6.5 years, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I want to say it was one of the first times we ever went out. I took her to the plateau, which was like a mile off road. And we partied hard out there. We'd bring kegs out there and
stuff.
Yeah,
that was probably my favorite.
Yes, and cops would take their Malibu off-road. And we had Jeeps and stuff that we would take. So we were like, how are the cops ever going to bust this? But they did.
They did.
So this night, I'm a senior in high school. She was a sophomore. And the cops busted it. And they took her home in the back seat of the cop car.
I don't remember.
So they take her to her house. And I followed the cop. And to apologize to her dad, because I liked her and I respected her dad. And so imagine that, like, if my daughter was a sophomore and went out with some senior, and then she was taken home in a cop car. I don't know if I'd let my daughter see that guy again.
No.
but we had a great relationship for a while there.
So you follow the cop to her house. Weren't worried about, I mean, we were drinking, right? I'm sure that had been going on, right?
Yeah. I was just so concerned for her that I
What did her dad say?
Whatever he said, it wasn't that bad. It was almost like he understood, I guess, because she wasn't drunk or anything, and I wasn't drunk or anything.
He probably respected you more, right? That's what you're going for, right?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think, you know, he liked me enough because they treated me like one of their own for a long time. And I would live with them on summer breaks and stuff, or Christmas breaks. Yeah, I was really
close
with
family.
And I looked for that, by the way, when I was in high school. Like, I wanted a girl that came from a strong family. So I'm fortunate that I had the wherewithal to look for that, which is unfortunate for some girls that maybe wanted to date, but I was like, you know, your dad's not around. It's not cool because I came from a broken home.
I don't need
home.
Daddy issues. Yeah, so, right? I mean, you knew what you wanted.
Yeah.
And then your wife now, her parents are?
Together. Yes. Saw them yesterday. They barely speak English. I tell my guys that I mentor, I say, you want a mother-in-law that doesn't speak English.
Wait, what ethnicity is she?
Where
she's
is she Hispanic.
From? So where are her parents from?
Saltillo, Mexico.
Mexico, yeah. Okay.
But she doesn't look Mexican. She gets accused of being Indian or Persian.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that.
But she's great. Shout out wifey.
Yeah. I've never met her, but I've seen her. She's beautiful.
Thank you. Tell me about you're doing the interracial thing too.
Oh.
Right?
That's right. You can say it.
You married a black dude.
I married a brother.
Talk about that.
So, yeah, we met.
Did you always want to date a black guy?
I mean, I had dated black guys.
Why?
I don't know. Because they liked me.
Interesting.
But.
Why'd they like you?
I don't know. Why do you think?
Continue.
But there was a point, I mean, it wasn't very well accepted when I was younger.
Okay? Especially by your family, right?
Right. And by people in general. I mean, times are a lot different now, right?
Sure.
So my husband and I didn't get married until our oldest son was 2 months old. And when I found out I was pregnant, this is when I was working out at Wildcat Golf Club.
And doing what?
I was a food and beverage director there. I started out as a cart girl. I started working there in 2021.
What'd you wear?
What do you think I wore?
I have no idea. I don't play golf.
You don't
play
golf?
But I just imagine like little cart girls are just getting hit on by these wealthy dudes.
Oh, I could tell you some stories. But yeah, I mean, you just wear shorts and a golf shirt or... I mean, just, you know. But when I found out I was pregnant, it was really scary because I had a lot of men that worked there were like retired senior citizens, like older men, and they were so sweet and precious. And they looked at me like a daughter, and I felt like I was like letting them down because I wasn't married yet. You know what I mean?
Did it help with tips or no?
Me having a bun in the oven?
Yeah, it's like going to the strip club and she tells you she's going to nursing school. You want to tip her more.
So, you know, that's funny you say that because now thinking back, a lot of people did like give me gifts and things like that. And they were so sweet to me. And then being in a biracial relationship it's different, right? It is culturally still different. But we've been married now for almost 18 years.
Wow. Congrats.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
It's not easy. Marriage, you know, you have to work at marriage, but.
At what point does the work start, you think? Year two or year seven? You know, they say like the 7-year itch and all that. I'm at 7 years now. I haven't felt like it's work yet.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's work to maintain polarity and romance, I guess, you know, going on a date once a week or whatever. But other than that, I mean, I like to think I married for peace, where I found peace.
That's amazing. So I think because we are in different situations, like I got married when I was 27. We got married and already had a baby, right? Life was different then. We didn't have as much money, right? Like it was a much simpler time, but it was so different. But it's been almost 18 years now, so I mean, I feel like we've worked all 18 years, but there's different seasons too. Some years are easier. Some years are harder. I think it depends on also like your children. You know, we have a teenager. We have a daughter that's 10, almost 11. And then our youngest, he's 8.
How do you decide to have a third child?
Well, we didn't decide, but I'll tell you this. Our daughter is, we planned for her. And, you know, we have a big gap. We have 17 and she's 10. But I knew, I felt like I wanted to have another child, but my husband wasn't sure. So when we found out, it wasn't planned, but I mean, I was scared because at the time my husband was actually living in Corpus Christi during the week for work. And so he's coming back on the weekends and there was just a lot of like, we didn't, unknowns. But so we didn't plan for it, but I'm so thankful we had a third. And after that, we knew like, okay, I mean, that's it. Plus, I mean, I'm no spring chicken anymore, you know? Well,
that would mean I'm not either.
Yeah.
I might have a big gap. Should I have another one?
Yeah. But my husband's older than you also. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be 51 in August. And I actually just turned 45.
Okay. You're a little older than me.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
April 29th.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
You do anything special for 45?
My husband and I actually just went into town and stayed at the Omni.
Nice. Like a staycation.
We do that a couple of times a year.
Smart. I like
that. Yeah. Just to kind of get away. And
who watches the kiddos? Or your oldest is probably old enough to watch them.
Well, but we wouldn't leave them for a weekend. So
because you know what we did when our parents left.
So my mother-in-law stays at the house. But the kids these days, they do different things.
Like what?
They don't drink as much as we did. They don't smoke cigarettes. There's a lot of vaping.
Do they do the dirty?
Oh, of course they do.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah.
See, I thought maybe they spent so much time online that they didn't copulate.
No.
I've never used that word in my life.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's a great word.
We should. I'm gonna use that.
You can. Yeah. Don't credit me because it's in the dictionary.
It's there. No, I mean they're doing it.
You're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid. You ever have a talk with your kid like birds and bees? I'm afraid of that.
So, yeah, of course, of course I have, and I don't want to out him with anything. I mean, he's not. He tells me he's not, but.
I would tell my mom I wasn't also.
Right.
But I'd be doing it.
Doing I know it well. You were. I know you were.
What? Don't say that.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, let's go back to dating a black guy because that's so interesting. So your fam, they had a problem with it, huh? I knew your brother in high school. He and I were pretty tight.
Yeah.
He was a couple years older than me and we were both left-handed, played baseball and I've got some wild stories with your bro, but was he opposed to you dating a black guy? Can I ask that?
You can ask that.
But you're not going to answer?
No, I'll answer. Okay. Yeah. I think my whole family was opposed to it.
Explicitly? Like they let you know?
Yes. And tried to mask it as, well, your kids are going to be confused and because they're biracial and people are going to blah, 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 whatever. I have now tried to explain to them, if you tell your child you can't date this race or this race, I mean, it is what it is. It's racism. I used to say my parents aren't racist, but they just won't let me date a black guy. I mean, they've grown. They love my husband.
That it was rebellion? I've heard your husband is great. I don't know if I maybe met him once, but do you think it was rebellion that made you want to go for a black guy, knowing that your family was opposed?
Well, it was wild because I met him and I was not interested at all. I met him, I think it was on my 25th birthday, actually. And I mean, he was not my type at all. But we have the same humor.
That helps.
Oh, it does.
You still laugh a lot?
Oh, yeah. Like sometimes I have to say, okay, we need to be serious. Okay.
That's great.
Can we like have a serious talk? You know?
I can see that.
Yeah. But no, he has my same humor. And I mean, my family's, they love him. they're grateful for him and they love our children. And
yeah, once they see that they've got a great father for their grandkids, that should change everything.
Right. And I mean, they weren't excited that I was pregnant before I was married either. But I mean, I was 26, you know.
Mm.
It's not like I was.
Did you tell him that you wanted to get married, or did he? How did that work once you found out you were pregnant?
I mean, I'm trying to think of how it happened.
But I mean, know how it happened.
Right. We do.
Well, she was doing it too, by the way. Not you.
Not me. I mean, obviously, we got married because of we had a child. We loved each other. But I'm going to be honest. I think part of the reason was because I needed insurance and we had to be married.
What does he do?
He's a like a scheduler, like a senior scheduler. He works for a company called Bechtel.
Oh, yeah. I know Bechtel.
It's a really good company.
You know, I have a buddy who married into the Bechtel family.
Really?
Yeah, and they live on passive income. They're very wealthy.
They take really good care of their employees.
Good.
Like, it's a really great company.
Mm.
Like this weekend we're going to go to the zoo and with Bechtel. Anyways, we were talking about pineapples earlier.
Yeah, so did you know that when you hang shoes from the power lines, that's the indicator that you can get some drugs there?
Wait, are you serious?
You ever heard that? Yeah, if you're driving through a neighborhood, like the hood usually, and you see shoes like tied together with shoestrings hanging from the wires, usually you'll see it like at an intersection, and then it's one of the four houses. Yeah.
That you go to purchase drugs?
Yeah.
So it's similar to if you drive through the neighborhood and you see an upside down pineapple.
Tell me about the pineapple.
It indicates that you are a swinger.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen that before? I've never seen an upside down.
So I had never noticed it until someone from my neighborhood told me what it was. And since I have actually seen it at a house in my neighborhood, and then I hear stories.
Have you ever been asked to partake?
I have not.
Would you tell me if you had?
I would.
Partaken?
Oh, yeah. We don't. No. We don't do that.
Yeah.
Heck no. That's.
Are you concerned that I'm asking this way because I'm interested in doing that? I'm not.
I know. You just want to know.
Well, we've been a lot of places, like in Prague. That's like the swinger. I mean, they have clubs there. That it's just like the swinger capital of the world.
But
so sometimes
I
think my followers think maybe you are. Yeah, maybe.
But you're not, right?
I wouldn't tell you if I was.
Okay.
No, I don't.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, so like you're asked, do you party? And you have to ask, like, cocaine or do you want to have sex with my wife?
Right.
And the answer is no.
No, and no. Yeah. No to both. Yeah. Apparently, there's quite a few swingers in my neighborhood.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody good looking? Like to where you'd be tempted?
Oh, no. I would never be tempted. But I'm just saying there's good looking people. And it's actually shocking. Like these people have like kids and they're out there just swinging.
What do you think they do? Ecstasy or how does it go down? Do you think they wear masks like eyes wide shut?
I actually have no idea.
You need to inquire more and we'll have you back on. Because that's fascinating.
You want me
right?
to go do a little detective work?
Yeah.
I know I think there's a lot of partying also.
You know what guys do a lot of times? Because you can't show up to those without a date. So they'll take a woman that they're not interested in and then get to have sex with everybody's wife.
So speaking of the girl that I told you that I knew that was a phone sex operator, she's my old neighbor. I lived in this condo off Richmond Avenue.
Was she fat and gross?
She was heavy, but she wasn't gross, I would say.
Mm.
But she also worked at a swingers club.
As a waitress or something?
She was a manager. And Do you remember, actually, and I don't know if it's still there. I cannot remember what it was called, but it's over off 290.
Yeah, Hempstead. I think there was a swinger club.
Oh, it's, but it's like in a shopping strip. There used to be, it used to be a Safeway. Now it's like this indoor race
track.
Okay. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I know there's one on Highway 6, but I can't picture what you're talking about.
Anyways, there's a swingers club there. And for whatever reason, we decided to go there one night. And yeah, girl, any girl can go in there. But if you're a guy, you have to come, you have to be with a couple.
So what happened?
It was weird.
Why?
Because like, people, and these people were ugly.
Gross.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I've been to not, New Beaches. I mean, these were not attractive people.
And so, they were naked, like you saw swinging dogs.
I didn't see that, but I saw the, maybe the prelude to, right? Maybe like they were, you know, leading up to what was going to happen.
Oh, there was a bunch of foreplay going on.
Yeah, it was weird. Mm. And they served beer in a can. They did. Mm. But yeah.
They were cool with you just walking around fully clothed, so, or did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, people don't walk around naked.
They don't?
No.
Because that's not as attractive. Otherwise, all the strip clubs would have naked chicks walking around.
That's true.
We like a little lingerie. So you didn't have to, you got to wear full clothes?
Yes.
You didn't feel guilty?
No.
Or like you were prying or spying?
No.
Really? So anybody like, can go in there and just yes, check it out and watch anyone all these people?
Yes, but you weren't watching people. Like, that was like in another place.
Oh.
So it was like you go in, there's like a big bar, people are dancing, there's a DJ, and they would take their whatever they were doing somewhere else. I was there with my cousin, two of her girlfriends, and then some other guy friends of ours. We were going to just be like, what is this? Like, I'm just so interested. But we weren't going to partake in
surely
anything.
Some of the guys that you were with wanted to join.
I don't think so.
Because there wasn't any attractive women.
Yeah.
So you'd have to, like, you wouldn't be bringing sand to the beach. You would need to be, like, bringing the castle. Like, that's a poor analogy.
Yeah.
But you'd have to bring the party to the place.
Yeah. Like, we would have
bring
had.
Bring your own chicks.
Yeah. Yes.
And dudes.
Yeah. Because it was.
I would think those would be like ecstasy and Viagra infused.
Oh, I'm
and they
sure.
would go for like 5 hours.
Gross.
Yeah.
And then I recently found out this fitness instructor that used to work at the gym that I go to. I always kind of was wondering about what her and her husband did, but now it's very clear. And she's beautiful. He's different. But they go, like, I don't know how we got to this conversation.
I don't either.
Oh, the pineapple. Yep,
you that, started okay. it, yeah.
I started it. People go on trips. They go to
Prague.
They go to Mexico, too. They're like, they have these big events there.
My wife worked at the River Oaks Country Club.
Wow.
And she said there was so much of that going on. I think they designate a day where it's all that. I don't know if she'd want me sharing this, but
wow.
Yeah, for those who don't know, River Oaks is probably the wealthiest zip code in Houston, if not the country. It's very uppity.
Yeah.
But yeah, it happens there a lot. The whole pineapple thing, as far as you know, the other stuff, is that true?
No, it's true.
It is true.
Google it.
Okay. Yeah, you can Google that stuff. I've never thought to do it because I'm not on the receiving end.
I know. No, it is a actual thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, and so you said your wife worked at River Country Club. Okay, yeah. So I worked at a golf course, and I didn't see swingers, but these men were married and all looking for other things.
Have you ever thought about if you caught your husband doing something like that, if you would leave right away?
Mm-hmm.
You've thought about it?
Yeah.
Would you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it depends on what it was.
Yeah. if it was just a physical one-nighter or...
But I would never be able to get over it. So I don't know.
Do you think it's different when a man does that or a woman does that?
Well, a man is more physical, right? And a woman is more emotional. So do you think if a woman does it, it would be harder for a man to deal with that because she would have to have some kind of emotion involved too, right?
Well, supposedly women are more upset by emotional affairs and men are more upset by physical affairs.
Okay.
Which is crazy to us because we would much rather our woman have an emotional affair, which is basically like having a work husband.
Yeah.
And then the wife would get supremely jealous if the man had a work wife. But yeah, a man can do that and never think about her again. And a woman would have a tougher time with that.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting because the reason, from what I understand, that a woman would be more upset about an emotional affair is because in human history, a woman's need for a man's resources, and of course they want his time and attention.
Right.
But if those resources are being allocated elsewhere, which would be the byproduct of a longer affair, he's probably buying her gifts and stuff. Mm-hmm. That is what would piss her off. Whereas a man, you know, a man wants a woman who, the reason men care about body counts, which I don't know why they'd ever ask their woman.
Right. That's wild.
But they want it lower, right?
Of course.
So you don't want a man having been in your woman.
Yeah. You don't want that. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I think I would probably leave.
Well, and there's also the thing about, you know, the top 10% of men dating like the top 60% of women, because women would rather share a high status man than date some douchebag. So there's that.
There's
too.
That too.
But we're not, it doesn't appeal to us that a woman would date other men at all. So like on social media, when I was single, if a woman would post a picture with another dude, I don't like that. I don't even like seeing older pictures of her with a dude. But when a dude posts that stuff, she can see, oh, he's desired by other women, or, you know, it's almost like a shortcut in the vetting process that other women are okay with him, so therefore he's okay.
Okay, wait, you're saying when you're single and you're dating someone.
In the very early stages, yeah.
And this person you were dating posted a picture of her and another dude on social media.
Yeah, to make you jealous or something.
Oh.
To get you to act in a way that she wants or so, you know, being manipulative,
oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, that they don't realize that.
See,
that's the biggest
turnoff
ever.
I haven't dated in so, you know, my husband and I have been together for 19, 20 years. Mm-hmm. So social media wasn't what it, you know, it wasn't what it is. What back then it wasn't like what it is now, or even before you were married.
You were on MySpace, probably.
I was on MySpace.
Were you with your husband at that time?
No. Mm. Wait. Well, yeah, I was. Yes, I was. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
That was so weird. People didn't even use their real names on MySpace a lot of times, or they just used their first name. Tend to think that we all put our first and last name on Facebook.
I know. But I need people to do that because if I'm doing some detective work.
Yeah. Oh, there's no such thing as a blind date anymore. It's everybody's Google.
Everyone. Oh, that is true. Just Google people.
Yeah. Like I told my wife, I'm meeting a girl to record a podcast today that I went to high school with.
And did she Google
said,
me?
She said, oh, is it Lauren? And she said some other last name. And I said, no, it's Lauren this. And I think she's probably asking because she's going to look you up.
She's going to look
Facebook.
Me up.
You know how women are.
That's okay. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So have you ever, speaking of Googling, have you ever Googled a girl that you dated and found out something that you didn't?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
What?
I was dating a divorcee and she told me that the reason she got divorced is because he was a very wealthy fella and that he was allocating resources towards these younger women. And I did some Googling one day and found out that he was committing insurance fraud and went to jail.
Okay.
And it was right around the time they got divorced. And she never told me that. But I do remember her telling me he made like $1 million a year. So it's like she was telling me the stuff that maybe I would be impressed with.
Right.
Yeah.
And left out the criminal part.
Yeah.
So did she have anything to do with that?
I don't know, but she worked there where he worked. Mm. He had a collision shop. She might listen to this. I never know who's listening. You know, right?
So should we don't want to drop her name or anything.
Mm-mm.
So did you quit seeing her?
I did.
Because of that?
No.
Oh, she because probably she did. Was
she divorced and had kids?
Does she even know that you found that information out? Mm-mm. Okay, so she listens to this. She will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you never know. Like if you dated me in 2012, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you think you would like spy on me every once in a while?
Yeah, totally, absolutely. Yes,
that might be why I have more listeners than I ever thought I would.
Because of all the people that you dated? Yeah. No, mm-hmm. absolutely.
I mean, yeah, they want to see if I'll say their name, maybe.
But don't you think you would do the same thing?
Well, I did.
Okay.
Right? That's how I found that out.
Right. Anyone else?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So everyone, you Googled all the...
Probably, because I Google all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And now I use AI more than Google, probably.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, it's so interesting what you can find, because you can do detailed searches by putting people's names in quotes, or if you know somebody that was arrested and you put their name in quotes and then put mugshot in quotes or something like that, or the word arrested, you'll get their mugshot. So they're
AI is better for that.
Yeah.
It's wild. I went to this convention yesterday, Tom Ferry, who's a real estate coach, and they talked about AI and all of the ways you can use it. And it's
nuts.
It's nuts. I mean, it's exciting. But it's also scary, right?
Yes. Chase asked me, where are you getting these questions? And I said, I put into AI, what questions would Brad D'Antonio ask that he's never asked before? And in 1 second, it gave me a whole bunch of questions.
That's amazing. See?
It's crazy.
Did you do that for me?
No. I'm going to use the same questions.
Oh.
Because they're great. They're questions yes. I would ask.
Yeah, they're questions you would ask.
Actually,
right.
I don't think they're questions I would ask, but it's more creative than me, evidently.
But, I mean, you can type some things in that how you would talk and prompt it, and it will, whatever you're looking for, a social media post or a letter or an email, and yeah. it will shoot something out that sounds somewhat like you.
Yeah, and then right? I just modify it. That's what yeah. I do with show notes. My virtual assistant does it in the Philippines, and then I go, and I'm sure he uses AI, and then I go in and modify it to make it sound a little more like me.
Right.
But yeah, I think they'll stop teaching creative writing in school the same way they stopped teaching cursive.
See, but that's what's scary, right?
But everything's scary. It you know, is. Like when the TV came along, that was probably scary.
TV?
Yeah, everybody was sitting in front of the TV for like 3-4 hours a day.
That's true. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah, I can ask it to write, because I have an extensive corpus of content that I've created over the years. I kind of feel like I'm being rewarded for all the time I've spent doing the writing and stuff, because I could prompt AI, and I don't do this, but I could say, write a 1200 word article about what Brad thinks about relationships. And it would give me exactly 1200 words with subheadings, and it'd be better than anything I could write. Every email I get now is AI generated. I can tell. Like I get pitched for guests now like 2 or 3 times a day.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, hey, Brad, just listen to your episode about this. And I can tell they didn't listen
they
to
didn't
it.
They didn't listen to it.
And it's
it,
three
yeah.
paragraphs, and it's perfectly grammared. And I'm like, you used AI to write this, bro. You didn't listen to my episode.
So I'm just curious now, when my son goes off to college, I mean, are these kids writing their own papers?
No, hell no.
So how?
You'd be stupid to do that, because you can do it in 1 second.
Right?
Yeah.
So how? I mean, that's just wild, though.
I know.
Why didn't they have that when we were in college?
I don't know, but I'm glad.
I'm joking, right?
Media.
Oh, weird.
We used to take the underwater cams to parties, remember? And get them developed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is I found a few. I had helped my dad sell his house about a year ago, and he moved into an apartment, and I found several cameras. old cameras, and one of them was an underwater one, and I went and had them developed, which that was wild because I haven't done that in so long. And there were pictures in there from 1993. I mean, it was crazy. There's pictures of Ryan in high school playing baseball. There were pictures of my younger brother. Like, he was on the Feast Bears, so it was in the early 90s also. It was really cool seeing these pictures.
I did that recently. Well, I say recently, it was probably 2017 or something. My wife and I went and played tennis for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took an underwater cam to Walgreens and got them developed, these pictures developed, an underwater cam.
Yeah.
And there was a picture of John McEnroe. I had gone to this party and, yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what? He was in a picture that I had no idea.
But where, when?
It was some ritzy party in the Galleria area that my buddy who worked at MD Anderson invited me to. And Chase and I damn near got our girlfriend stolen by like wealthy tennis players.
But you took an underwater camera there?
No. Well, yeah, at the time.
But why did you do that? Were y'all going swimming? Like,
no, that's what we used before cell phones to take pictures. You did it too.
But they weren't all underwater cameras.
But that's what we used, right?
Well, they were disposable cameras.
Oh, you're saying that all of them.
But some of them, right. Yeah.
Well, now you might be calling me out. Maybe I couldn't have taken it underwater because there weren't any pictures with bubbles or anything.
I mean, I think you could still use it. You know, it doesn't have to be underwater. You have the option.
You know what's crazy to me? Back then, you could only take like 24 pics, mm-hmm. right? Because that was a roll of film.
Yeah.
If you and I in high school took the underwater cam from the weekend parties to Walgreens to get developed, and we got in the car together to look at the pics.
Yeah.
And like 17 of them were of one girl who took a bunch of pictures of herself. You'd be like, what is wrong with right. your self-obsessed yeah. narcissist?
Yeah.
And now people and now take selfies and it's so common.
It's a different world we live in.
Yes. Let's talk about your real estate career. So how long have you been doing that?
So I originally got my license in 2007. When our oldest son was just a couple of weeks old, it was not a good time in the market. You no, have your real estate license,
don't you? I do. I've had it since 03.
Yeah. So it was right before, you know, the crash. They were just handing out the mortgages and people couldn't pay for it. And we had an infant and I didn't know enough at the time that, wow, like, I don't think we can afford this. Because, you know, you don't get a paycheck unless you sell a house. So it's something I'd always wanted to do, but it was not going to work with our family at the time. Fast forward, I did other things. I was a teacher for a little bit, had more kids. And when our youngest went to preschool in 2020, my husband and I talked and he was like, yeah, I think this is a great time. I didn't keep up with my license, so I had to take a couple more classes and I had to take the test again. So I joined a big brokerage and I was there for about 3 years. And it was not like I knew it wasn't where I needed to be. I didn't know what I was looking for, but I knew where I wasn't where I needed to be. So the brokerage I'm with now is Blair Realty Group. It's in Cyprus. And I joined there officially back in July. So I've been doing it, I guess, a little over 4 years now, but I've wanted to do it for a really long time. And I love it. And I love where I'm at. It's not an easy industry, right? But you really do have to like people. And I really do like people.
Me too.
Like we talked about, like I'm very curious. I want to know your story. I love helping people. It makes me happy. I tell people, like, I'm a hype girl. Like, I want to hype you up.
Ditto.
You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way my brokerage is, too. Like, everyone there, it's all about collaboration over competition. And I think that is also what's helping me thrive.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, I love it.
So commissions have changed recently to where in the MLS, you can't put any longer what commission you're paying to the buyer side.
Right.
How has that changed for you?
So it was August 17th of last year when, you know, the rule came in that you can't put it in the MLS and you have to also have a buyer broker agreement signed before you show a house. So the commission has always been negotiable. Okay. It's never been a set number. It's always been negotiable. So it hasn't affected my business at all, but it's business as usual. I charge what I charge. And if I'm working with a buyer, and we're going to put an offer in, I put an offer in and include what my commission is and just go from there.
So when I list a house, which isn't often, but somebody will text me and ask. Yeah.
I don't do that.
Mm. But you've been asked?
Oh, yeah.
And you just tell them 3%.
So this is how we write. This is how I do my listing agreements. I put in my listing agreement what my percentage is. And then we write something to the effect of, because I explained to my seller that it is important to offer a commission to the buyer's agent. You know, you explain, you want the buyer's agent to, first of all, to be a good agent, to help guide their client through everything. And a buyer is already having to bring a down payment, their closing cost, having to pay their agent also is just going to affect them. They're not going to be able to buy the house. So we want to have as many eyes on your house on this listing. But let's not put a set number. What we'll do is we'll say that you're willing to offer a buyer's agent commission and negotiate as needed. Mm-hmm. So that way, hey, if a buyer comes in and says they only want X percent, but I told them I'm going to pay you, my seller's going to pay you this percent, that's more, I want to save my seller money.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's how it goes. I'll ask, if I'm working like with a rental client, I'll usually ask if they're paying, but.
And what is that typically, half a month's rent?
Usually it's half a month's rent. Yeah. And I work and I do rentals. I mean, they're going to be buyers sometimes, but they need help too, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't text the agent and ask. I show the house because I'm going to show the house regardless. I come for, like, I don't think about the paycheck, right? I mean, I got to get paid. But if I feel like if I lead with wanting to do the best job for my client, I'm going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And honestly, what I'm reading is that people are actually getting paid more now by a little bit than they were prior to.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's the inflation thing.
I don't know if you've heard me talk about, but they ask for more tip at the restaurant. And I think it's just economic literacy or greed because they're getting paid more because the check is higher.
Oh.
So they're getting 50% of a 15% of a higher number, but now they want 22%, 25%. And I'm like, why not ask for 75%?
Right. Let's just 100%.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
So
why don't I pay your mortgage?
Okay. So real quick, when you list a house, so you have your license mainly for your own personal properties, right? Mm-hmm. So do you pay a buyer's agent?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it used to be if you offered anything less than 3%, your house wouldn't get shown.
Right.
Because the buyer's agent's going to go where the money is. And since 95% of them are offering 3%, why would you show the 2% house?
Right, right.
So you'd usually only see that on foreclosures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are the buyers that you work with now, are they typically cash buyers or conventional mortgage?
Actually, I've had several FHA recently because FHA, the interest rates are lower and the houses are already inflated. Interest rates are higher. So I've worked with a lot of listings and I've closed a lot of deals where they were cash buyers. But I haven't worked with many cash buyers. Conventional FHA. I've actually never done a VA loan.
Mm.
But do you know?
I haven't either.
Yeah. I've never done back when the crazy 21, 22, which was wild time, you know, my good friend and I were looking, but it was real. It was really hard to for buyers at that time because people were coming in way over ask, waiving appraisal, waiving inspections, which I would never, ever, ever tell my client to do ever. Like you, it's so important to get an inspection. But I'm about to start looking with a good friend of mine, and he's a VA loan. He'll be a VA loan, and I'm excited to help him.
What kind of interest rates are people getting with these FHA loans right now?
So I just closed with a buyer on new construction, and their rate was 4.99, which is phenomenal. But it was an incentive from the builder.
It is so much easier to be a realtor at our age because our friends have more money.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying to do it in my 20s and people were buying $100,000 houses. Right. And you work just as hard on the 100K house as the 500K house.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is. And man, I've got a lot of young kids at the broker. I mean, there's 18-year-olds at my brokerage, but it's so cute. Like, and I call them cute. They're adults, but I'm 45 now and they're like, look like kids to me, but they're hustling. They're doing everything they need to do to get business. And it's really cool to see. They do a lot of TikTok videos. And
are you doing that?
No.
Well, you don't need to. You probably work exclusively by referral. You probably don't have to market at all. Huh?
Oh, no, I do market.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see you market much. But Facebook has changed, right? You used to see everybody's stuff.
You don't see it anymore. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I do. But most of my business, yes, is referral based and from my sphere, you know, family, friends.
You ever think about maybe I should join a country club or something so I can meet?
So I can meet rich people?
Mm-hmm.
I do think about that.
Yeah. Why don't you do it?
Because
it's an investment.
It is an investment.
I know people that have belonged to big churches for that reason. Like they weren't even religious. They just wanted to meet people.
Yeah, but I'm not fake. So
I know.
I want it to be like an organic, genuine connection. So,
yeah, but that's joining a gym. I mean,
you were just saying people have joined churches even though they're not religious because they want to.
Yeah.
But no, I wouldn't go to a country club enough. It wouldn't. I would love to. I like to play golf.
Mm.
So you've never played golf?
Mm-mm. I mean, I've tried. I've taken lessons, but. The pro wanted me to play right-handed, and I can hit it way farther left-handed.
Okay.
And so I didn't like the discomfort of it, and I was like, screw this. I'm not playing right-handed. And so I've had more than one pro tell me that I should play right-handed, and I don't want to.
So we need to find you a pro that will help you play left-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really fun.
Oh, I know. I even like disc golf and putt-putt.
Putt-putt. I've never done disc golf. That's like frisbee, right?
It's fun. I mean, I can imagine how fun golf would be, and I like being out in nature, so
it's
I would
so
love
fun.
It on a beautiful day.
Yes.
Yeah.
But disc golf, that's like you throw a frisbee, and how the hell do you do that?
Oh, it's just like throwing a frisbee, and you got to get it into the little basket.
Isn't that hard?
So you get like a par four, and you throw the frisbee, and then you go to it, and then you throw it again, and you try to get it in four. In the basket. It's not easy, but you get better at it over time.
Okay. Well, golf isn't easy.
No.
It isn't. I used to be pretty good, but I used to play all the time because I worked at a golf course and it was free.
Mm.
Golf's expensive.
How much would it be if you went and played tomorrow?
Depends on what course.
Let's
Wildcat, probably around $100.
Not bad.
But, I mean, then you got to make sure you have all your balls. Then, you know, I mean, just even the clubs and the clothes.
Who's the most famous person you've ever met?
Probably George Bush Sr. Mm. I met Hank Aaron. That was really cool.
Wow. Playing golf?
Yep. Let me see.
Could he whack the ball really far?
He actually could.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Hammer and Hank. Right? I mean,
he better be able to.
And I didn't meet Muhammad Ali per se, because we didn't like say, hi, my name is Lauren. And he was like, hi, I'm Muhammad. But I did see him and we exchanged hellos.
He said, I'm the champ.
He did. Yeah. But George Bush Sr., my husband and I were at the Galleria and we saw these guys walking around. We were in Dillard's at the Galleria, and they had like these things around their ear. And I was making a joke like, oh, okay, they think there's Secret Service up in here or something. And then like I looked up, and George Bush Sr. is right in front of me. And I look up and I go, oh, George.
It just came out of your mouth.
It just fell out of my mouth. Mm. I'm like mortified to this day that I said that, but he was so precious, and he shook my hand, and he was like, hi, honey, how are you doing?
That's cool.
Good story.
Yeah. I like stories about meeting famous people and how people handle it, because everybody handles it differently. I was asking Chase if people still ask for autographs or if it's all selfies. And he said, no, kids are belligerent. Like, they ask for everything, and they don't even say please and thank you.
Really?
But the times I've gotten a chance to talk to really famous people, I've always just wanted to have a conversation more so than a selfie or an autograph.
Yeah.
Because it's fascinating. I mean, they've lived such a fascinating life. You just want to talk to them and find out about it.
Dustin Hoffman was sitting in front of me at a Lakers game.
Rain Man.
I wanted to talk to him forever, but, you know, I didn't. But he was really nice. And Rain Man. It was a few years ago. That was really cool, being at a Lakers game.
I bet. You got to sit near the courtside?
Yeah.
Who, you must have saw all kinds of famous
people. Oh, yeah. Like
Jack Nicholson.
I did not see him, but what is his name? The bald guy from Fast and Furious.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Diesel.
Yes, Vin Diesel was there. Anthony Kiedis was there. D.L. Hughley.
So if Vin Diesel came on to you hot and heavy, like, how does a woman resist that?
Okay.
Like a married woman.
Well, that wouldn't happen.
If it would. And he started texting you, and like he was just enamored with you.
Right.
How does a woman resist that?
Well, you have to have boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
So you wouldn't do the number thing. I mean, you wouldn't even give him your number, but...
No, you couldn't. I mean, I have kids, too.
I know. I guess you're not the right person to talk to about this, but like, okay. I'll talk to guys who are dating in their 20s, and I tell them how my girlfriends got swiped by men who were more successful than me.
Mm-hmm.
And due to the hypergamous nature of women, I just warn them that it's a possibility.
Yeah.
And so I'll tell them, like, if your girlfriend goes out with her girlfriends and Lance McCullers comes on to her real hard, like, you don't stand a chance.
No, not with that guy.
You see?
No, but I was never like that. No. Because I met...
You all say that.
I met plenty of wealthy dudes in my day, but they weren't looking for a committed relationship.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah. And so, I see plenty of women these days that date men for their money.
Mm.
But I think the men know that that's why they're dating them.
Mm. You think that's what the Bill Belichick thing is? You think that's a sugar daddy thing? You think they met on a website?
So, sorry, I got to kind of move this. You know, she's got a pretty nice real estate portfolio.
Yeah, but I think she got it after him, right?
No, I don't think so. She's pretty smart. But I mean, I don't think she's dating him for his looks. I think
I
don't think so. No, she's dating him because he's Bill Belichick. Let's just keep it real. There's no way a 24-year-old is dating he's old. Like, is he in his 70s?
Yeah, he's 72, I think. And she's 24.
She looks older. But I mean, she's beautiful. I'm not hating on her, but she's mature, obviously, but he's definitely taken a blue pill. Is that what color it is?
I wouldn't know. Yeah, it's dark blue with a slight tint on the left side. I can't say I've never used it, but you know, guys who do use it, and you may know this, but like, there's no downside. It actually has health benefits, and it makes you that much stronger, so to speak, and better.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, why not? Like, even if you don't need it necessarily, it makes it better. So I'm not opposed to it.
Right. But how long better?
What do you mean? Duration?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as long as it's not 4 hours.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, that's for the birds.
Well, yeah, all these women are complaining about us lasting 30 seconds. 40 seconds. 40. Now you got a guy taking a blue pill and going 3 hours, and she's like, you better stop.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The young girls can have that.
You think?
Yeah.
Because when you get older, yeah. I think as a man.
Well, I mean, I'm 45.
It slows down, huh?
Yeah.
Mm, I know. I'm 44. I don't need it every day anymore.
No.
Twice a day.
No, I'm good.
Yeah. All right. Fun questions. Ready?
I'm ready.
If you could create a new holiday that celebrates a unique aspect of human nature, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. A unique aspect of human nature. You're really stumping me here. A holiday.
Yeah. Like everybody gets a day off to celebrate this aspect of people.
Oh.
AI needs to do a better job with questions.
Because I
didn't come up with this one.
I can't. Like, I'm stumped. I don't even know what to say.
All right. If you could switch lives with somebody for one day, like tomorrow, just to experience what their life is like, who would that be? And let's say it has to be a woman.
Okay. Well, you know what? I really admire Michelle Obama. I would like to experience what her life is like.
You know, the biggest problem I have with her is I feel like she's made it to the pinnacle of life, yet she still doesn't seem happy. And she seems very negative to me. And so it just tells me that people will find something to complain about regardless of how good life can be. But you and I have talked about, like, if you're in an unhappy marriage, your life's going to be miserable. And we don't know how anybody's marriage truly is.
So you think she's negative?
Negative? Yeah, I think she complains a lot.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen clips of her podcast, and she's always complaining. Yeah, she just seems like an unhappy person to me.
I mean, I think it would be difficult to be
her. Oh, definitely.
Right? And then having to protect her two daughters.
Yeah. Do you think she would win if she ran for president?
No.
Why not?
I just don't think she has enough support.
Mm.
I admire her, but I don't know if I could see her as the president.
You know why it would be cool to be her is to experience what it's like to have Secret Service around and be able to tell the chef you want a snack. You know? It'd be wild to just live that life and be so protected. And it just makes me think, like, when I hear her on her podcast, I'm thinking, you don't know what life is like anymore. You can't.
You will never know.
Never.
But I wouldn't want that. I would just want to know what it's like.
Would you want to be famous?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
Me either.
No, I would. I want my privacy.
Well, that's why I've always been hesitant to grow the podcast. Like, it's all been very organic. I don't market much at all, and I don't know where people come from, but they find us, and it's
amazing. Nice.
Yeah, I have like exactly the core group that I want. You know, who buy into my messaging and stuff. And I don't need more than that. I don't feel like, I mean, it'd be nice to impact more people, but I don't know. I don't want to be famous and you run that risk.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
So when you started, were you apprehensive?
Yes. Even when I started the blog, I felt like I was opening up my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, if you remember me, I don't know. What do you remember about me? I feel like I didn't share much about what was in my head.
You didn't.
I kind of kept the cards close.
But what I remember is you were just always kind and fun and funny, and you were one of my favorites.
Oh, for thanks. Sure.
Yeah.
Ditto. Likewise.
No, that's why you're always here. Thanks.
Yeah, we should reconnect. Like,
I would love
hang
that.
Out with our spouses. Babe,
yeah, that would be.
Get
I would
a pineapple
love that.
And you know.
We won't do all that. But you're about to leave, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
For 4 months.
If y'all get a wild hair, you should come visit
right?
us. I could send you. I'm serious, actually.
No, I know you're serious.
Yeah, we'll be like a month in different places. And I tell friends, I'm like, hey, if y'all want to come visit, it's so fun to be in Prague with another couple.
Because
we get a babysitter and then we go out and party and, you know, it's just wonderful.
And just learning new cultures and meeting new people.
And taking them, like, to the Communism Museum. And
that's so
castles. Kids love castles.
So your wife, I mean, she's obviously on board with this traveling life. And did she travel a lot before?
With me.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. I lucked out because of her age. Mm-hmm. And she's not super ambitious career-wise. That helped too. So yeah, I really lucked out in that regard. I think if she was the ultimate decision maker, she might nest us in a house, like buy a house. But I don't want to buy a house for now.
Yeah.
I just want to do what we're doing for as long as we can. Once my neck gets better, we'll decide whether we want to grow the fam.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get asked about my wife all the time. I probably should have her on the podcast
so people can get to know her.
I just haven't done that. And she's a little apprehensive, too. She thinks that I would be critical of her. And I don't know mm-hmm. why she thinks that. I'm not critical of her in everyday life. But yeah. I used to edit the podcast heavily, like all the ums and uhs.
Right.
So maybe that's what she's concerned about. But I need to get her on.
You do. I think people are interested to know, like, who she is.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I want to meet her.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got an interesting background. Like her parents collectively have 24 siblings. Her mom has 13 and her dad has 9.
Wow.
So they come from destitution.
Really?
So it shapes your mindset. So yeah. She's not pretentious at all. You know, she's down for spending money on experiences, which is how I want to spend
money.
That's
what you want to do. And that
mm-hmm.
that's amazing.
Yeah. What is the coolest thing anybody's ever done for you?
I don't know if I want to share all of...
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel braggadocious.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking last episode, we were talking about looks and whether somebody's ever complimented me on my looks.
Okay.
And I didn't want to say what I've been complimented on. I just thought that was so weird. So I said something...
I know what they compliment you on.
What?
Your big butt.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm losing it because I can't work out anymore.
Because of your neck.
Yeah. So it might be gone forever.
Have you looked into decompression therapy?
Mm-mm. Is that like the table, gravity table? I've done some of that.
Well, no, but it's like this machine that kind of like almost pulls your spine. So it like gives your discs like room. Because they're bulging, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they were. I had stem cells that helped with the bulging.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. But I'll look into that. I'll look into everything.
It doesn't work for everyone, but it does help some people.
I'm about to do Ways to Well, you know, the blood workup. Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So you pay like $500 and they do a full panel, like more than your primary care would do. And, you know, when they do that, they tell you so much. And then they'll recommend protocols for you and even write prescriptions for you. It's called waystowell.com. I think it's Callie Means maybe founded it. Anyway, with AI now, it can give you the results and then you can put it in AI and it'll give you specific recommendations. Like you don't even need a consultation with a doctor.
Stop it.
Yeah. Amazing.
So is that what you did?
I'm about to do it. I signed up for it yesterday.
Ways to what?
Ways to Well.
Ways to Well. Like W-A-Y-S.
Two. Well. Like the number two.
Okay.
Well. Yeah. It's really popular.
So I'm not answering any of your fun questions.
That's all right. It's more fun when you don't.
Because I'm fun.
Yeah, because you're fun. All right. What's the most memorable negotiation you've ever had?
There's been a few. I just closed on a condo, in fact, yesterday, that, you know, I just said, look, we've listed it. We've priced it exactly where it needs to be. And that's it. There's no negotiating. This is the price. You can have your inspection. Nothing's going to get fixed. Because the condo, it was built in 1968, but it actually burnt down in 2016. So it was rebuilt in 2018. The wild thing is I used to live in these condos. Not this specific, on Richmond.
I think I visited there.
You did. I lived in two different condos. So the one you visited was not this one.
Yeah, that one was on Westheimer. Probably real close.
No. Were you with us on New Year's Eve of like 2022?
No. I haven't seen you in like 15, 20 years.
I'm not 2022. 2002. That's what I meant to say.
Oh.
Do you remember?
I don't know. I don't.
So we all, like, there was a ton of us. Gabe was there. Chris Costello was. Oh, wait. Should I not? I probably shouldn't say names, huh?
I don't know. Sometimes I do.
Okay. I feel like Adam Hemme was there. Corey and Natalie. Corey Kripe and Natalie.
Mm.
Were you not?
I don't think so.
I think Star was there. Anyways, I was really proud of my negotiating skills for that because they said, fine, we're not going to ask for this, 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 or this anymore. We'll just give you whatever you want. But one of my hardest deals, it was the very first listing I ever got. So it was in 2022 and it was $1 million listing, which is exciting, right? But of course, like a lot of things that could go wrong that were out of my control went wrong.
Mm.
And that was brutal. Like we got the clear to close. Okay. Later on that day, I get a call from the lender saying, oh, wait, never mind. They actually need $160,000 from the close of their house. It was brutal. And the couple, I didn't know this at the time, but they were going through something. So it just made it. It made it worse.
You became a therapist too.
Kind of.
People don't realize how much realtors deal with, and you see a different side of your best friends.
Yeah, right?
Like some people are so emotional because it's such a big purchase for them. And I actually remember when I bought a big house being nervous, like almost sick to my stomach the first time I pulled a trigger on a big purchase like that. So I kind of understand it.
Yeah.
But it seems like they take it out on you sometimes.
They do. But what I learned from that is, because I kind of quit. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I took everything personally, right? So I was like, even though we sold the house, they made a shit ton of money.
You too.
I did. I kind of almost quit. But I told myself, look, this is business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take it personally. And then I threw myself back in it.
Good.
And I'm having my best years I've had so far.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What's the most valuable piece of advice you've ever received? You don't like that question. I can tell by your face. Too much thinking?
Too much
you
thinking.
You should listen to the last episode. You would know what's coming.
I would know. And I would have written this down.
But you know, you're so smart that as you're stalling right now, buying time, you're thinking of an answer.
Of course I am. Yeah. But you know what I'm going to tell you? And this isn't the best piece of advice, but it is a good piece of advice. Boundaries create boundaries, right? If you don't have boundaries, you don't have boundaries. And it is so important to have boundaries. You know that?
Relationships,
with friendships, with family, with business.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy creating boundaries, right? But you have to be decisive, don't you? You have to be like...
So do you try not to mingle with your clients too much for that reason, to keep those boundaries?
It's not that per se. It's also, don't call me at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I don't ever call anyone before 9 a.m. unless it's like urgent, mm-hmm. right? So I try to have like a 9 to 6 schedule,
mm-hmm.
appointments on the weekends, but I'm always able, you're always able to get in touch with me, but it's that because some clients, for example, they'll send me homes at midnight.
What's your take on open houses?
So I think open houses are a great way to market the property. Okay. When it first comes to market, but there's a very small percentage that the person that comes to that open house is going to buy that house
or even be qualified
or they even be qualified
driving by and people like looking,
they're
at
looky-loos.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great opportunity, especially for newer agents, or if you're struggling getting business,
mm-hmm.
to pick up potential buyers.
Yeah, that's how I've always felt. It's more a marketing tool for the agent, whereas they're pitching it to their seller like, hey, I'm going to market your property.
And right.
It almost never sells that way.
It usually doesn't. But as far as like, it's a good way to market it, just to have another avenue of saying, this house is, you know, this house is on the market. We're having an open house this weekend. I usually like go to all the neighbors and, but yeah, the house is usually not going to sell at open house, like from someone that comes to the open house.
I'm not going
to
ask what your split is, but does your brokerage work?
I can tell you my split.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. It's 90-10 and we cap at 15,000.
What do you mean cap?
So once we've paid the brokerage 15 grand, we've capped. And then after that, we have a 350 transaction fee for sales and $100 for leases.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
And no monthly fee on top of that?
There's a $100 monthly fee, but we have a beautiful office space. I mean, it's amazing. They offer us so much. We can have events there for free.
You can have what?
Events there.
Oh, events. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good.
Maybe we could do something there one time.
Yeah.
I don't know what we can do, but I mean, they offer.
We get pineapples once a week. No, I'm
kidding. We can't do that there. But no, it's. I mean, they have. If you don't, especially for a lot of new agents that, because it's expensive, you've got to, you know, order your signs and your open house signs and all of the things, your super boxes. They have all of that there.
Oh, that's good. You don't have to pay for your own materials.
Yeah.
Basically.
I mean, I want to brand, you know, you want to get your own branded stuff, but in the meantime, they have that for you.
Could you ever see yourself opening up Andrew's Realty?
Right now, no. But because right now I'm focused on really getting all my systems in place because I'm going to have to learn to trust other people and kind of hand some other things off. So I, you know,
like get an assistant or underlings. Yeah. That would
like
be a good
transaction
goal.
Coordinator or something like that. And my coach, like he tells me like, Lauren, you don't think you need it right now, but prepare yourself because you're going to need it. And it's going to offer you more time to grow your business.
Have you ever tried the VA thing? You'd be amazed at what they can do for you. I turned so much crap I don't want to do over to my guy in the Philippines.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah. And it's not expensive. I could hook you up with that.
You can hook me up with that?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Okay.
All right. What do you think is the biggest political or like geopolitical risk to us? Like what country are we most scared of or should we be, do you think? I know I'm changing gears, but.
Well, I'm more scared of what the president's doing right now.
I know.
I'm scared of our own country. Yeah. Honestly, I mean, aren't you? Mm. Has it not affected you at all?
No. In fact, it's been a net positive because of the story I shared earlier. Mm. That's my number one issue. And I haven't shared that publicly yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a major deal. But yeah, I want all that to go away and it's going away.
So what country are you most scared of?
China.
Was going to be my second.
Okay. So you're scared of us first and then China second.
Well, no, I mean, kind of. Yeah. I mean, I know people personally that the tariffs have affected and they've had to close part of their businesses.
Mm.
That makes me sad because I care about other people too.
If the president asked you for your best advice, what would you tell him?
To shut the fuck up.
He talks too much?
Talks way too much.
Tweets too much?
Yeah. Like.
Are you on X?
No.
No.
But I see what he says.
Yeah.
Like he just needs to be quiet, really.
If Diddy is guilty of everything he's being accused of, what should his punishment be?
I mean, he should die.
Die. Death, execution?
Yes.
In what way?
What's the worst way?
I like that answer.
Yeah.
I can tell you because I've been through it.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's...
But actually, I wouldn't wish that on him, actually. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It's that bad. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want a human to go through it.
When are you going to share that?
I don't know. I don't know the right venue. I don't know.
I think you should.
Yeah, I will. I don't have any other questions, I don't think. What's been the best part about doing this?
Honestly, just reconnecting with you. Wow. I mean, it's been really fun. I mean, we've been talking for a long time.
I know. We couldn't start because we had so much to talk about.
We really.
So we'll get together again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we could have shared some of the stories.
I know.
But we can.
We can. We'll do a part two.
We can. We just can't. We got to leave some names out, though.
Yeah. Oh, we have great stories.
God,
actually.
We've got some good stories.
And that's
we'll
one
do
of the reasons
part two.
I wanted to get you on so much is because you have such a good memory and not a lot of people do.
Yeah. You do too.
I do have a good memory. And I connect with people who also do.
Because it kills me. I will tell stories to people like, oh my God, do you remember this? Whatever it is. And it's like, I'm like, there's no way they can't remember this. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, what?
I know.
How do you not remember this?
Or what about the Molly thing? Like that, it was so devastating. I'd want to talk to you about that.
We can talk about that.
Quickly or?
I mean, we can talk about it another time. We can talk about it quickly, whatever.
Well, you wanna,
let's do another time then.
58.
Yeah, we'll do it another time.
So let's wrap.
Yeah.
If you weren't a girl, I'd tell you I love you because there's a lot of love.
But, yeah. I got you.
I tell that to a lot of dudes on the podcast, especially, you know, with me facing death and everything. You just like want to express your feelings and tell people how much they mean to you in your life. And yeah,
and then you circle back to the people that you have lost. You know, and it's like,
or that
wow,
you miss,
I
or
wish.
You're like, you know, if Lauren lived close, we'd hang out. You know, right. Why don't I contact her and see what she's up to?
I'm glad you did.
Cool. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, friends, for tuning in. If we can do anything for you, how could people connect with you if they wanted to?
They can connect with me. Do I tell them my email address?
You can, yeah. You might get spammed because people will scour the web with AI email.
How can they connect with me?
Are you on LinkedIn?
No, I'm not.
If somebody wanted to buy a house, what would they, in Houston, and you wanted to serve them, what would it be?
My email address.
Oh, okay. All right. Contact me and I'll put you in touch with Lauren. We're going to partner on some deals anyway, I got a feeling.
Yeah, I would love that. All right. That'd be amazing.
Thank you, friends. I'm on the socials at man_overseas. If we can do anything for you, let us know. God bless.